We're turning in the Bible to 2 Peter. Perhaps we'll turn, first of all, this morning to our confessional reading. If you have the Forms and Prayers books, it's page 156. And if you do not, it's 856 in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. 156 in the Forms and Prayers books. So we have a summary here of what the Bible says about itself. We've been spending a good portion of the summer looking at what the Bible says about itself, or what God says about the Bible. And that's summarized here, our confession of what we believe about the Bible and how we bind ourselves to the Bible as our only authority. It's summarized here in these articles 2 through 7 of the Belgic Confession. But Article 5, we've been focusing on together, and I'll highlight the particular point that we'll be looking at this morning in 2 Peter 1. The authority of Scripture. We receive all these books, that is, the 66 books of the Bible, and these only as holy and canonical. They are the standard, the only standard. These only for the regulating, founding, and establishing of our faith. And we believe without a doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but above all because the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they prove themselves to be from God. For even the blind themselves are able to see that the things predicted in them do happen. And just to highlight, fourth line down, we've been focusing on, we receive all these books for the regulating, founding, and now establishing. Last two Lord's Days, we focused on regulating. The Bible is the only rule of faith. It regulates our faith. The founding, the Bible is our only foundation of faith. A firm foundation we have in Scripture, in Jesus Christ our Lord, the rock upon which we stand. And now we're going to be focusing on the establishing of our faith, the confirming of our faith, or the assurance of faith, that blessing of assurance. Well, let's turn together in the Bibles then to 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll recall that we did focus on the verses 19 through 21 previously, when we focused on how the word was inspired, that men did not speak of their own authority, but as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. We're going to consider now the broader context of this verse and what it says about how we may be established in our faith, confirmed, how we may know. That's something that we need to be thinking about. Can you actually know that you belong to God? Can you actually know that you are going to spend eternity with Him? And the teaching of the Bible is that you can. And our confidence is that the Bible has been given us so that we can know this blessing. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. You're still seeking it, page 1395 in the Pew Bibles, 1395, 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the very word of God. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So far, our reading from the Holy Word of God. And just to direct our attention to verse 10 here as well, and urge you to keep your Bibles open if you're able. Here to 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, we have been focusing this series of sermons on what the Bible says about itself, or what God says about the Bible. And we have been challenged and encouraged to believe that this is the sure word of God. And it is the only divinely inspired and canonical or authoritative word that there is. This is the very word of God. And we rest our lives on what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us here in his word. These scriptures have been given to bring Jesus to us that we may know him. And we would say with the Apostle Peter, as I believe he says in John's Gospel 6, verse 65, "Lord, to whom else should we go? You have the words of life." And as you recall, we've been spending some time exalting the Bible, because the Bible exalts itself. Speaking highly of the Bible, because the Bible confidently speaks of itself as the very word of God. We may ask ourselves, why is it so important that we have such a high view of the Bible? Well, it's important because it's the Bible that gives us Jesus. And it's the Bible that enables us to know with certainty every blessing that is promised us in the Lord Jesus. It's through the Bible we come to know God. It's through the Bible we come to know the only hope that is to be found in our only Savior, Jesus. It's through the Bible that we are given confidence for eternity, for a sure and certain hope that will not disappoint. We will never come to the place in all eternity where we will be disappointed or ashamed of the fact that we followed God, that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we believed his word. And it's important because it's through the scriptures that we are, as our confession says, we are established in the faith. Peter speaks of that blessing in what we've read from 2 Peter 1 at verse 12. He says, "I'll not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." So they had come to know the word. They had heard the gospel. They had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were founded upon the rock and they're being established. But he's going to keep reminding them because the word is given to us that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He'll speak of that in 2 Peter 3 verse 18. We may know these blessings and we may grow in that knowledge. And that's what I want to proclaim to you this morning. I alluded a few times already to the context of the 1500s when the Belgic Confession was used to summarize the teaching of the Word of God. And I'll remind you of a quote of the framers or those who stood behind the Belgic Confession when it was tossed over a castle wall in a place in southern Belgium or close to northern France and addressed to King Philip, the King of Spain at that time, who was allowing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be persecuted for their faith, who was behind what is called the Spanish Inquisition, where believers in the Lord Jesus Christ were put to death for their faith. And those who sent these words to King Philip of Spain acknowledged, "King Philip, we will be subject to you in all things lawful." They were not rebels. They were not revolutionaries. They were not seeking to do their own thing or throw off the authority of the king. But they also said, "Our conviction is that we stand with the Word of God." And the Belgic Confession was a good summary, therefore, of what they believed from the Word of God and about the Word of God. And remember, maybe the boys and girls remember some of this. "We will give our backs to stripes, our tongues to knives, or our whole bodies to the flames, rather than to go against the Word of God." That was their conviction. And the individual writer of the Belgic Confession and many others would actually go to their death because of this conviction. And the challenge is, how could they do that? How could they maintain such a conviction in the face of such opposition and such danger? Because they knew the Lord. And they were established and confirmed in the faith. I just remind us of the familiar words of Romans chapter 8. This is what they could be persuaded of. Romans 8 verse 37. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I am persuaded, Paul would say, we can say with him, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I'm persuaded of this blessing. I know this blessing. Paul would say something similar in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to sing words from a hymn based on these words from 2 Timothy before we go home this morning. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, "For this reason," in terms of his confidence in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, "I also suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." I am persuaded, again, he says. And what I want to encourage us in this morning, as we face our own challenges, and though I do not want us to be fear-mongers in the midst of the days in which we live, we do know that every day in this world as it is headed toward the Lord Jesus Christ's return and a glorious eternity, every day in this world is a day in which we will find opposition. And I want us to be encouraged that we can face these challenges being as persuaded as Paul was, using the language of Peter and using the urging of Peter here in the words of 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Can you actually know? That's the thing. Can you actually know these things? Can you know that Jesus is Lord? Can you know that you have hope for eternity? Can you know that nothing is going to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And the teaching of the Word of God is, yes, you can. And you get that from the Bible. And this is my challenge for everyone who is hearing me this morning, whether by live stream or by whatever means. Make sure you know. Make sure you know. I speak of making sure of our calling by the sure Word of God. Make sure you know. And we're going to look at three things together in the time that we have. We see that the Bible confronts us with our need to know. And then in the second place, it comforts us with the possibility of knowing. And thirdly, it confirms us. The Bible has been given for the confirmation of our faith, or establishing us in the faith. It confirms us in the enjoyment of knowing. We can know this blessing. When I speak of the need to know, I want us to see, first of all, that what we have in 2 Peter 1 verse 10 is actually a command. A command. Make your call and election sure. What Peter is talking about is the blessing of knowing, I've been called by God. And by grace through faith, I have answered his call. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have come to the Father through him. And I have this confidence, therefore, that God has chosen me. And if God has chosen me, he will not let me go. He will not unchoose me. We can know this blessing. That's an important thing for us to appreciate. Now, there's a difference between, I'm going to use two words, between presumption and persuasion. Presumption, well, I presume that everything is going to be okay. People who don't think thoroughly or seriously or deeply about these things may be guilty of presumption. You may have that all around us. Many of us would have been that way ourselves. Everything is probably going to be okay. I think there might be a God, and I think I'll probably go to heaven. How sure is that? How confident is that? And I would submit to you, if that's the way that you speak, that is no confidence at all. That's presumption. And you may have that if you have lived at great distance from God all your life and just have this vague idea that probably everything is going to be okay. Or you may have that if you have spent your life growing up in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but never actually taken seriously what God says about himself and of your need for him. And never actually cast yourself upon God for your salvation. You should know him and come to him. This is eternal life, Jesus said, John 17, verse 3, that we know God and him whom he has sent. We need to know this blessing, not presume upon it. We need to be persuaded of it. So the difference between presumption and persuasion. The warning here, as Peter is going to flesh that out, is that you not be those kinds of people who lack this blessing. 2 Peter 1, verse 9. Those who lack these things, these fruits of faith, the evidences of faith, the workings of faith, the workings out of faith in your life, if you lack these things, you're short-sighted, you're blind, you've forgotten what it is to be cleansed of your sins. You're not believing. So apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is presumption, perhaps, but there can be no persuasion. So we warn against taking blessings for granted or just thinking, hey, everything is going to be okay. But you know what happens when you have this sense that everything is going to be okay? You know what you're actually doing. You're being superficial, you're being flippant, but you're actually resting in yourself. You're resting in your own accomplishments. And if you think, hey, that's probably going to be okay, that is a very, very dangerous place to be. But there is the opposite extreme, sometimes in reaction to flippant presumption. It says, how could I ever know? Weak, feeble, frail, struggling me, how could I ever know? And sometimes you get the teaching, even in the church, well, you can't know. You shouldn't think that you know. That would be arrogant of you to think that you can know. And it sounds pious. It sounds more humble. It sounds more humble. But let me suggest to you that it is actually not humble at all. And it's actually an error of the same sort. An error that focuses inward on me. And looks at me and finds its confidence or lack of confidence because of what I see in me. And what we see here in the Bible is that we are directed away from ourselves to Jesus Christ. What Peter is on about here in 2 Peter chapter 1 is the blessing of the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue in terms of everything Jesus is and everything Jesus Christ has accomplished. And what we're encouraged in here is what has been given, 2 Peter 1 verse 4, through exceedingly great and precious promises. If we remain in stubborn unbelief because I am too dirty, I am too weak, I am too frail, my faith is so small. If we remain at a distance from God because of excuses like this, that is actually the sin of unbelief with regard to God's great and precious promises. What we saw last Lord's Day in Acts chapter 16, the precious promises of God in the gospel are this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16 verse 31, and you'll be saved, you and your household. These are God's exceedingly great and precious promises. We should take Him at His word. Now you need, every one of us needs to know this blessing. We need to know because God has commanded us to make it known or to make sure we know. Making sure you know. We also need this, of course, because we want to be able to live lives in this world in the confidence that it's going to be okay. We want to be able to face the challenges of life, being able to say with an Apostle Paul, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So the Bible confronts us with our need to know. And it confronts us here basically with a command from God, make sure you know. And again, let me urge every one of us here to make sure you know. Do you know? Do you have this persuasion? Do you have this confidence? Are you able to say, I know? We'll see in the second place that the Bible also comforts us with the possibility of knowing. Not only do you need to know, you can know. See, when God makes a command here, He is assuring us, what I command you, I will give you. We ought to say with a church father, Augustine, and we go to God, Lord, command what you will and give what you command. And that's what God does. He says, make sure you know. Now to us, left to ourselves, this is impossible. If we dig within ourselves, try to dig more deeply, try to work something up within ourselves, it's going to be horrible. It's a dead-end street. Remember the Lord Jesus. Maybe the boys and girls remember that story of Jesus dealing with the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. The one who was told he had to give up on his idolatry or his confidence in all of his riches, but who went away sorrowful rather than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his disciples said, Lord, who can be saved? And Jesus' response, 19 verse 26 in Matthew, is with man it is indeed impossible, but with God all things are possible. Again, if we are to be established, being confirmed, assured in our faith, it's not something we dig out of ourselves. It's a blessing we find when we look away from ourselves for the knowledge of Him, that's Jesus Christ. The blessing that is given to us in Scripture through the great and precious promises that God makes to us in the Bible. Promises like Jesus speaks in John 6, verse 37. All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can be comforted with the blessed possibility that we can know. Spoken of Paul's words from the end of Romans 8, words that come a little before that are probably also familiar to us. Romans 8, verse 30. We call that sometimes the golden chain of our salvation, a chain of blessing that reaches from eternity past into eternity future. And the Lord has told us that those whom He has foreknown, known from all eternity in love and grace, He has also predestined. Those whom He's predestined, He's also called. Those whom He's called, He's also justified. Those whom He's justified, He's also glorified. And remember, the language there is with such confidence that the fact of our glorification that we look forward to and long for and look to happen is already spoken of as though it's done. So sure is this blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have this confidence. As we've already said from Paul, I am persuaded. I know this to be true. And you can go through the Bible and see illustrations of this blessing every step of the way. Abraham, as the Lord called him to Himself. Hebrews 11 speaks of the blessing that he looked to the city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. He knew that God's word was true. He believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. He knows this blessing. Or think of a Job. You know the account of Job and how everything was taken from him. You know how he was sitting there, afflicted in his own body, or actually experiencing the loss of all of his possessions, even the loss of his children. And he's able to say with certainty, Job 1, verse 21, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or he could say later on in the book of Job, as he had struggles, the whole book of Job recounts his own struggle to get confident in this and to have his eyes set on the faithfulness of God. But in Job 19, verse 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that in this body I shall see God. This is a blessing that believers can know. You see, It's a possibility. You know it. You see it in the Bible. Or David, Psalm 23, such a familiar psalm. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But how this psalm ends speaks with great confidence. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall. Again, a confidence we may have. Paul says, I know what I've committed to him will be kept in the goodness and grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus until that day. We've read already from 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Perhaps we'll see what we read, a portion of what we read from Philippians chapter 1 this afternoon. The Lord who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. He keeps his promises. These are the great and precious promises of God. You make sure you know that. Because not only do you need to know that, we're promised here, you can know that. A verse I think is always helpful to be reminded of that blessing. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. Believing in the Lord Jesus. These things were written that you may know. Make sure you know. So, the Bible teaches us of our need to know. The Bible teaches us that we can know. And now we'll see in the third place, the Bible confirms us in the enjoyment of knowing. So it actually asks us to seek this blessing. Seek this blessing of knowing. Now, here's an important thing for us to appreciate. To be able to say, I know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to say, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day is enough. By the grace of God. We're not being asked here to compare ourselves with other people. Our level of assurance in the Christian life may vary from day to day, and it varies from Christian to Christian. The point for us is not to compare ourselves with others. People do that sometimes when we speak of, you can know God, you can know this hope. And they say, well, I don't know him like you do. Well, maybe not. But that's not the point. Do you know him? That's the confidence we are to have. And the blessing that we have in knowing him, when we're called here to make your calling and election sure, make sure you know, is a blessing that comes in the way of casting ourselves at his feet. Looking away from ourselves. It doesn't come in terms of stirring up our own strength and saying, well, now I can know. It comes from being rooted in the Word of God and responding to the Word of God, taking hold of these exceedingly great and precious promises. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You come to know Him. We're told that the way we are strengthened in our knowledge of Him is through the Word. And so we go to the Word. We read the Word. We cry out to God as we read the Word, Lord, make yourself known to me. Help me to know you. Help me to trust you. We find ourselves sitting under the preaching of the Word. And we also probably, most of us, even who know God, can speak from experience. When I forget these things, when I neglect these things, it's kind of like I don't know. It's kind of like I find myself struggling and wandering aimlessly. I find myself with deep, serious struggle. It's what, again, Peter is describing in verse 9. When you lack a response to the Word of God according to the joy of salvation, you get short-sighted, you become blind, you become forgetful of your forgiveness. When you forget your forgiveness, you forget to be gracious. When you forget the Lord's ways, you forget to look outside of yourself and you become turned in. You become ungodly and unbelieving. And the encouragement is, there is forgiveness for all of these failings. And we can be thankful to God for that. We can be encouraged that our confidence comes from turning again to the Word of God and God's graciousness to forgive and to be merciful. I think is an illustration of a circumstance. I don't know, we're in this area, probably not many of us can relate to that. I lived for a time after my university studies in the far north in Alberta, where you could still meet people who were, as they called them, homesteaders. That is to say, they were given plots of land for free from the government, just if they went up there and cleared the land and took care of it. They were given chunks of land, either 160 acres of it at a time, that's a quarter section, or a full section, 640 acres of land, homesteaders. Now, I use this in terms of assurance. If a homesteader in these far reaches of northern Alberta were to think to themselves, now, is it really my land? Does it really belong to me? Can I really know that it belongs to me? Maybe I need to take another trek down to Edmonton, probably a 6 to 8 hour car ride, more than that in those days, if they even had cars, in those days even further. And can I just get a reminder again that the deed actually belongs to me? If they're doing that again and again, they're going to be barren and unfruitful in their living out of the blessings they have been given. But if they simply know because they have it written down, this belongs to you, now they will not be barren or unfruitful. They'll get to work and they'll clear the land and they'll plant their crops and they'll seek to harvest their crops, bearing fruit. So, as we're confirmed in knowing we belong to God, the Word also equips us for a life lived in service to God in thankfulness. And that's what Peter's talking about. In verse 5, you giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we neglect the Word, I can speak of that from my experience. I trust you can too. There are times when in our devotional lives we grow distant from God and cold and we let the Bible sit on the shelf. You neglect the Word of God, you're going to be forgetful and you're not going to live in the joy of your assurance. Or when you ignore the Word, when you despise the Word, when you rebel against the Word and live in disobedience to the Word, you will be barren and unfruitful in your knowledge of Christ. But if you go to the Word, yes, allow the Word to convict you. Allow the Word to show you your sin. Allow the Word to teach you to get your eyes off of yourself and on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be barren or unfruitful. You'll be making sure. Make sure you know. Make sure you know Jesus. He is proclaimed to us in the Word. And we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as we continue in the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. We thank you that we have this in Scripture and that through Scripture we come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus who called us. We thank you for your great and precious promises given to us in the Bible. And we pray that every one of us would hear those promises again this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And every one of us would take these words to heart and leave here with the concern, Lord, I need to know. Help me to make sure that I know, and thank you that in your word you teach us that we can know this blessing. Help us in the joy of knowing to go forth from here, adding to the blessing of our faith a great desire to serve you, to love one another, to grow in diligence and devotion, that we would not be barren or unfruitful, but fruitful for the glory of your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.